Blog Talk Radio.
But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share.
And welcome back to Life Lessons Radio. I'm Rick Topini. This series of shows is honoring the passing of JFK, the assassination that took place 50 years ago this week on November 22nd, Friday. I was in Sherman, Texas at the time, just a mere 55 minutes away from Dealey Plaza, and we felt as local Texans and practically residents of Dallas, the sadness and the tragedy perhaps more than most did, as we often took part of the blame from our relatives up north. And it was a very, very sad day. And what we want to do with these shows this week is just to reflect back on the memory of our great President JFK, his life, and look at what it's like half a century ago now. Before September 11th, 2001, there was November 22nd, 1963, a day when anyone born before that time frame, let's say 1955 and forward, remembers the details of where he or she was, what they were doing, and when they first heard the news that President Kennedy had been shot, and later that the president was in fact dead. Beyond the images of the hour were those that soon followed, LBJ, Lyndon Johnson's face as he's swearing in to uphold the Constitution. And he stood sandwiched between Lady Bird Johnson and Jacqueline Kennedy on the back of the plane on the tarmac at Love Field in Dallas, Texas. Families huddled in front of the television the next Monday watching little John John on his third birthday salute his father's casket coming from the cathedral, a horse named Blackjack prancing and skittering, a saddle empty, boots hung backwards, reluctant to accompany the caisson carrying our fallen president through the crying streets of Washington, D.C., while overhead the heavens wept alongside of all of us. For the second graders in the Mrs. Mackey's class at Jefferson Elementary School on that last Friday before Thanksgiving, the word came from behind this brown box that covered a speaker high on the wall next to a picture of George Washington, as I recall. We stared at it as if we could see the dour face of our principal who was peering at us perhaps through the tiny holes as Mr. Kendrick delivered that sad, sad news. Who among us knew that the rest of our lives had begun on that bright day in November, or realized that the cocoon of naivety or innocence had all been shredded, the illusion of safety separating childhood from the world shattered all in an instant. And that same school is where we huddled under desk for the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so many memories now linger about Jefferson Elementary School, but really around the memory of this president. We speak of remembering where we were, what we were doing, the moment we heard, but memory is another facet of imagination, constantly redrawing the past and the line of events that followed. We had no inkling then of what was around the next corner. More violent resistance to civil rights, the future assassinations of JFK's brother or Martin Luther King, or the ever-present temptation to wander into this melancholy world of what if. Did we remember then or do we remember later by looking them up the words of a confident new president standing without an overcoat on that so cold day in January 1961 when he gave his inauguration stand. And he said, "Now the trumpet summons us again. The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Pay any price, bear any burden, let us begin anew, explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the oceans deep, light our country, truly light the world, and ask not what your country can do for you." He was kind of like a great elixir, a call to dedicate our lives to something greater than ourselves. We did not know then or much care when we found out about his Addison's disease or his womanizing or medications and all that. Glamour meant a first lady named Jacqueline Bouvier, the Vassar girl who spoke French and had studied at the Sorbonne, the definition of elegance and sophistication. Yet to come were tales of all this other unhappiness. But at the time, it didn't matter to us. We were in Camelot with them. Half a century later, only ghosts walked the hallway behind the auditoriums of Jefferson Elementary. And the building still stands, and it's still an elementary school. But inside that building and the children that were there that day, we were forever changed. Now we look back at the yesterdays and probably outnumber our tomorrows, and we retrace all of our steps one last time this one half century ago. For on Friday, November the 22nd, 1963, our lives changed. What we thought we remember from that round speaker, that black or that brown speaker, probably still next to that clock, we stare at it hard enough, and it's not the principal's voice that echoes, but rather the trumpet's call, the voice of a man who spoke so funny to us in Texas, saying, "Ask not what your country can do for you." A small flame lit by the passing torch flickers still at the end of a wick burned short. This is a reflection of that other flame burning in Arlington National Cemetery, which I visited just recently. It's the president, our president, JFK, who lives still half a century ago in our minds, burned in our memories as such a young president, an idealist, but at the same time that we cared about deeply, who held up for us so much hope and inspiration and future for our great country. This is Rick Tokini. Thanks for listening to our Life Lessons reflection on JFK. We'll be back on with another show about JFK as the idealist without illusion. And we appreciate you joining us as we celebrate this important week in U.S. history. Have a great day, and remember to embrace every adventure, keep talking, and listen harder.